Amen. Everybody good? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, that you take care of us, take care of our children, our kids. But Lord, you also said we need to be wise as serpents and the innocence of doves, and we need to do our due diligence and make sure that we keep this flock safe as we can. But we thank you, Lord, that you placed angels encamped about us. Lord, I pray for this message this morning. Pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin that needs healing and strength. Lord, you know their needs. Lord, thank you for Gary's surgery that came through good. Praise you for that. Praise you for family and friends. Love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. So we're going to be at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 36 and 37. Verse 36 and 37. And I think Gary's got it. Dairy. Got Dairy, Gary, and Larry. Sometimes I get them all mixed up. What's that? And it was Brother Daryl. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. So here we go. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, everybody said amen? Now, I believe that we all need encouragement. Would you all agree with that? We all need encouragement. Even pastors, deacons, leaders, teachers, doctors, nurses, truck drivers, farmers, painters, stay-at-home moms, bankers, grocery store workers, secretaries, the self-employed, policemen, firemen, and even Indian chiefs need encouragement. I really believe that this is a spiritual gift from God. The life that we live now on this earth, especially during these days, maybe it's worse, maybe not, but it's challenging. It's very challenging, and we all need encouragement. We all need lifted up from time to time. Amen? We do. This week, right here, was an emotionally challenging week for me. And most of you know I'm an addictions counselor, almost 30 years now. And this week I had a roller coaster of emotions, and I'll just share with you real quick. Real briefly, I had a young man come in Tuesday. He'd been sober for 10 years. I kind of talked him into, he came to where I work, our campus, and I talked him into joining the Marine Corps. And it was a great thing. He went in, became a Marine, and was very successful, and made Sergeant E5, and he recently got out, and he's been going to college. It's funny because he met a young lady that was in the Navy. Very familiar story from my wife and I. And so he's going to college, and when he graduates, he's going to go back in the Navy as an officer. And then she's going to stay in the reserves. What a wonderful plan, right? Amen. And he wanted to come by and thank me for the little bit I played in his life and helping him get on the straight path. And he's very successful. He celebrated 10 years, and that was awesome. I was on cloud 9. I was like, yay. Okay, now I remember why I do this. It's like a good golf shot. Anybody play golf? You know what I mean? You're like, stupid golf, man. I hate this game. And you hit a great shot, and you're like, I love golf. That's why I go. I don't play golf anymore. I don't have time. But the very next day, though, I get word that this young man that I worked with for about 6 months actually graduated last week from the program, went home, and died. Heroin overdose, mixing it with fentanyl. It's a very terrible thing. So I ended up having to talk to his family and his poor mama, because he's probably late 20s, early 30s, I don't remember. But it was super sad. And we had to intervene and talk to family and talk to friends and people that he graduated with. And so we We were there all afternoon and dealing with that. So that was super sad. So the emotions go up, emotions go down. But that's life. We all need encouraging. Okay? I've learned that one good word, one word of encouragement can inspire and help people. I appreciate Pete. He's behind the scenes guy, does a lot of stuff. He texts me a couple times this week, checking on me. And like Gary, that means a lot. That means a lot. We all need encouraging. When we receive encouragement, we feel that others care about us. Everybody hear that? We feel like others care about us. I'm going to say this, so hear me right now. Most often, but not always, a talent brings glory to the individual, because they end up promoting self. They end up serving self. And we've all seen that in the world. Spiritually mature believers with talent end up serving God by using their talents to honor God. And we see that here at our church, at Pauline Baptist. We see it all the time. People using their talents and their gifts to honor God, to try to build up his children, to try to build up the church, to really honor God. I mean, Gary and them, you know, and Angela and Danny sung that little song that was not on the plan, but they did that for my precious mother. Yes, they're honoring God. Amen, right? We're all here to honor God. But that was an encouraging thing to do. That was love, wasn't it? That was love, and I appreciate it. We see folks in our church everywhere doing those kind of things and honoring God, serving in nursery, children's church, right? Sunday school, music, outreaches that we're doing now. All that is just serving God. It's honoring God. Spiritual gifts bring glory to God because they end up serving others. My prayer for this message this morning is that God will inspire you to be an encourager. And some of you are. Some of you are an encourager. So this morning, let's take a little bit and look. I need to get me a clock right back there. Talk about that in a business meeting. Don't let me forget. Because I don't like looking at my watch, but it'd be great to see a little clock back there. But you guys are not worried about it, right? You're here. 2 o'clock, ready? I don't even want to hear myself talk that long. Anyway, so I have a message this morning. I feel like God's really put on my heart. I'm very excited about it. So this morning, let's take a look at one of the great encouragers of the Bible. Now, at that time, we read the book of Acts. At that time, the Bible tells us the church is young. They're in one accord. The guys are preaching. They're teaching. People are getting saved every day. They're excited and they're fired up for God. If you read, this is what's going on. They were even selling the property so that everyone in the church's needs could be met. I mean, we don't do that today, but back then, that was radical. And they needed to be radical because it was the foundation of the church. You know, the church was getting off the ground, so they were doing these radical things to take care of one another. However, there was one man, though, that was highlighted because of his generosity and because of his ability to encourage people. Now, the Bible says his name was Joseph. But we don't know him by that name. Matter of fact, this is the last time in the Bible that actually mentions him or calls him Joseph. We know him by Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was his nickname. The apostles gave him the nickname of Barnabas. Sometimes nicknames can be good. Sometimes nicknames can be bad. Encouraging, discouraging. Yeah, we understand that. Names meant a lot of things back in Jesus' days. And we all know that Barnabas meant son of encouragement. encourager. Barnabas' character, okay, his character was as an encourager, was well known in that day. Matter of fact, his nickname became who he was. Jesus gave people nicknames. He did. Go study the nicknames that Jesus gave people. Simon is probably the most famous nicknames. Okay? Jesus gave him the nickname of what? Peter. He gave him the nickname of Peter. Now, this is interesting. Go study this. This is kind of cool. Just when Peter would start becoming kind of negative or hard-headed, Jesus would then call him Simon Peter. How many did that with your kids? You call them their first and middle name. Right? Yeah, there you go, Melissa. But really, you think you look at it, study it, and really look at it, when Peter would start getting hard-headed or whatever, Jesus would call him Simon Peter. And here's the reason. It was to remind him that he was now starting to act like the old person. Now, when he would start acting right, thinking right, Jesus would refer to him only as Peter. Jesus wanted him to start acting like his nickname, which was a solid rock. It was a firm foundation, a stone. So there's a lot into that, so go look that up if you're interested. Now, back to Barnabas. As you look through the New Testament, you will find that everywhere that Barnabas went, he was encouraging people. He was lifting people up. And the church started noticing this. And when the church in Jerusalem heard about this, they sent them folks an encourager. Matter of fact, they sent them the encourager, Barnabas. And everywhere he went, he was encouraging people, motivating people. Now, here's an interesting thing to me. And I'm not being disrespectful to Paul here, but I'm just calling it like it is, because none of these people in the Bible are perfect. Right? Only Jesus. But even when the great and almighty Paul was angry with John Mark and didn't want him to be a part of his ministry team, Barnabas hung in there with him, stayed with him, and encouraged John Mark. You see, Paul didn't want John Mark with them because he saw him as a quitter. He saw him as someone who would not make a commitment to finishing what he started. Those are all good character traits, sure. Paul probably more than likely had a little grudge against this young man. And you can see it in the scriptures when you really take your time and read through it. All Paul could see in this young man Barnabas was his weakness. And Barnabas saw his strengths. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling us. Paul, the mighty Paul, saw a young man in need of a little public humiliation. But Barnabas saw a young man who needed a little encouragement. Amen. And obviously it worked. Because this young man we call John Mark was the writer of the Gospel of Mark. I encourage you this morning to be a Barnabas, an encourager. Now the Greek word, I got to throw this in here, the Greek word for encourage is parakaleo. Parakaleo. Now listen to this Greek definition. This is very important. Everybody listen. Parakaleo. Here it is. It means to call to one side. To call to one side to comfort, to console, or to strengthen. Really think about that. to call to one side, hey, come here. Let's talk about this. Hey, come over here. What's going on? Is there something I can pray for you about? Hey, how's things going? Denny, what's going on, buddy? How's things going? See, when we encourage each other, we walk beside them, which means to share in their life by way of support and encouragement and to strengthen them. We need to strengthen one another instead of tear each other down. I don't see that going on here, but I got to say that. I'll say it again. We need to strengthen one another instead of tear each other down. We should not listen to nor use words of gossip. We all need to speak words that encourage each other. Speak the word of God over your life. Speak the word of God over others' lives. Encourage people. Even if all you can do is pray for them. Encourage them in the heavenly realms through intercession, through prayer. Prayer works. Just like Gary was talking about. In Acts 13:15, Paul and Barnabas, now they worked out their differences, they're chugging along, and they get to this synagogue and they want to go in and listen to the reading. Here's Acts 13:15. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, Paul and Barnabas, sent word to them saying, brothers, if you have a word of encouragement for the people, come give it. Oh, I challenge you this week is to go and read chapter 13 in Acts. And Paul and Barnabas are sort of sitting there leaning up a tree or sitting on a stone or something. I don't know. They were there. Paul jumps up, bam, runs up to the podium, grabs a mic. And, oh, man, please read what he told them. It was so encouraging. Matter of fact, I told the Lord I wasn't going to preach on this, but I can't help it right now. It was so encouraging that the next Sunday morning, whenever they met next, almost the entire city came out to hear. How about like us preaching a message here on encouragement, and next Sunday, half of Brooks County would be lined up coming in here to hear. That'd be awesome. I'd love that. That would, be great. It probably struck my ego too much. God wouldn't let that happen. I don't know. Who cares, right? We'll preach the word anyway. But I just thought this was awesome. This was so awesome. Please go read it, Acts 13. You see, these folks, these leaders in the synagogue, they were looking for words of encouragement. There's so much crazy mess going on in the world now. The people are looking for an encouraging word. Even if it's going to be all right, man. Hang in there. They're looking for them. We're all sitting right here in this church. Don't think you're too religious or too super motivated or whatever. We all need encouragement. Words that can build us up. Words that would help us in times of despair. Times when it's challenging. Words that can help us stay on course. Knowing that, I'm doing the right thing. Thank you for telling me that. I words to help us not give up. You'd be surprised. Statistics are crazy when it comes to church members coming to church, and so many of them are just ready to just give up. Just give up. What does that mean? It means everything. It means just stop going to church. Stop believing in God. Crazy thoughts of, going different directions. It's happening. We need to speak words of encouragement. The words that we choose. Everybody listen. I'm closing. Any words that we choose to say is very, very important. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in our tongue. In other words, it's the words that are coming out of our mouth. The words that we hear. The words that we say about ourselves. You hear me? The words that we say to ourselves and about ourselves. It's the words that we say to others, to our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our co-workers. The Bible says that we need to stop, think, be slow to speak, let the Holy Spirit tell you, show you, teach you, right? It's kind of a funny thing here, but Ann Landers, some of you will remember that. Young folks don't know anything about that kind of stuff, but Ann Landers once said this: the trouble with talking too fast is you may say something you haven't thought of yet. I love that. Here's the scripture for you too, okay? Ephesians 4:29. I love this scripture. Ephesians 4:29. This is what it says. Do not. Everybody say do not. One more time. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. But only. This is the Bible. It's not me trying to give you a motivational speech up here, okay? But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Isn't that awesome? We must be careful to not let our words discourage others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, this morning, you may be going through a tough time right now. It may be rough at work. Your marriage may be struggling. Your children, grandchildren may be struggling. You may be struggling financially. Maybe struggling emotionally. Maybe in the middle of making a big decision in your life, and it's maybe in a tough spot right now. I want you to look at me. Look at me. I believe in you. I believe in you. You hang in there. But more than anything, I believe with all my heart that God Almighty is on your side. The creator of the universe, the master architect, is on your side. And he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. All things are possible with him. If God can be for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, I also believe in this. I also believe in the biblical spiritual law of reaping and sowing. Luke 6:38. I'm going to read it to you. Listen closely. Luke 6:38. Give. It's not just talking about money. It's talking about everything else you can imagine, really. Just give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with this measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you need encouraging, go and encourage someone. If you need a friend, go and be a friend to someone. If you need joy, go bring joy to someone. If you need happiness, go and bring happiness to someone. I'm not going to go into all those details. We're all grown adults, and you can fill in the blanks, right? If you feel a little down and blue, go visit the Children's Cancer Hospital in Atlanta. You'll come home thinking, man, I ain't got no problems. Go volunteer at the Red Cross when somebody's house burns down. Go help them clean it up. You'll come back and thank God for your little house. You know, so y'all can fill in the blanks there, you know. Trust your Heavenly Father. He will guide you. He loves you. I encourage you this day to be an encourager. Lift each other up. Speak blessings over your children, your spouse, your grandchildren. Encourage your family and your friends and your neighbors. You'll never know. You'll never know how God can use your encouragements to bring people into a relationship with Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this word. Lord, I pray now that during this song of invitation, that if someone wants to get saved and give their life to You, Lord, they'll come down and I'll be glad to pray with them. We love You. Lord, if someone wants to get baptized or join a church, we can talk about that too. That would be awesome. Just give it to You in Jesus' name. Amen.